Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that tonight's going to be so blessed. Father, we're going to have full participation of everybody in here. We thank you for the newcomers that have come in, Lord. And we ask that you bless them mightily, Lord, that they learn and that you would place it in their heart possibly to give us a testimony of where they are in you, Lord, and the things that you've given them, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be so blessed because your Holy Spirit is guiding us, leading us, and directing us, Lord. And we thank you for all that's accomplished in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. We have a new guest, Christian from the Netherlands. Tim, I had to mute you. You were making a lot of noise there, but I'll unmute you now. Christian from the Netherlands, and praise God that he saw fit to join us tonight. Bless you, Christian.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. All right, now we're going to open up with anybody have any prayer requests or they would like to pray about something. Now's the time.
I'd like to offer a prayer for a fellow, work fellow I work with, his father. They're both Christian, but I've been talking a lot to him about trying to bring him into faith and prayer of faith and, you know, counting on the promises of God for healing. He said his father just got out of I believe it's a hospital or a care facility of some type, and he said his father has some kind of stage 3 something with his kidneys. I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds like it's getting to the point where he'll have to go on dialysis soon or whatever. And so I said, well, you know what, how about if we bring that up and pray about it at my prayer group I got? And he said, that'd be fine. So I'm just going to do that real quick. Father, offer up Ken, and his father's, his name is Ken also. Father, bring up Ken, his father. He had some kidney problems. I'm not sure exactly what that entails, but sounds like it's going the route where the medical society gets a hold of him and starts fucking up machines. So, Father, I ask you to bring complete healing and deliverance from this kidney problem he's having, this failure issue. He's a Christian. We're stepping on his behalf, though he can have these benefits in the kingdom. Also, I prayed with a woman today. Her name's Joy. I think it's Joy. And she looked tired today. I said, you look tired. She says, yeah, I am. I don't sleep a lot sometimes at night. And she says, actually, I wake up a lot during the night. I said, oh, when we got talking and probing her some more. And she said, well, she has a problem with her red blood cells. I can't remember what that's called off the top of my head, where it's not creating enough red blood cells all the time. And so she feels tired, and she wakes up a lot. She's kind of tired a lot. I said, well, let's pray about that. And I found out, so she was a Christian, and I told her about healing and brought her a few passages, you know, 2 Peter, and then talk about prayer of agreement. And I said, this is what we're going to do. If you want to do this, we can do this. I said, we got this benefit in the kingdom that we can pray together, and if two come together in my name, agree upon anything, it'll be done for them. I said, let's agree upon this, okay? We'll cast this off you, and we'll ask that you have a good night's sleep. So what I'm doing is continuing this prayer with the group to say, we're going to pray that she continues to get her deliverance, give her the faith to stand on the promises I gave her, that we cast off the enemy that wants to bring any kind of doubt and unbelief in her heart. And so we do this in the name of Jesus Christ right now as a group, and more to give her more than just two. We'll bring in 100 or 10. That is to cast this offer, Lord, make her system whole, and at the same time, Lord, have a great night's sleep tonight. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We place our faith with David and Joy and Ken, and Lord, we thank you that it is done in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. All right. Thank you, David. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just praying with my son, and I thought I'd just join in with the rest of the group here. And, you know, he'll get into a trial where he'll just be walking with the Lord and just, you know, just in a real good place and at peace and have, you know, rest. And then he might do something like get frustrated with somebody and, you know, get a little bit of an attitude, or, you know, his flesh will come out, and he knows it's wrong. And, you know, then condemnation comes in because he feels distant from the Lord and he knew he shouldn't have done that. And the enemy just comes in and just starts, you know, starts beating him up. And he knows that there's certain things, like, you know, who get pulled into entertainment or, you know, stuff like that. And he knows that, you know, when he does that, he won't be in the Word. And, you know, the enemy will kind of tempt him with, you know, just, you know, whatever it is, you know, entertainment, you know, whatever it can be. And it slowly just keeps, you know, his time is limited, but instead of being in the Word that he knows he wants to be in, he'll, you know, watch a movie. Or he'll, you know, go do something with some of his friends or whatever it is. And, you know, he's really trying to walk in obedience. He's not trying to be under the law. But he just sees where, you know, the more he gets out of the Word, the more he gets into his flesh, and then his flesh takes over. Then he's getting attitudes, or he's getting frustrated. He's getting out of the rest. And, you know, ends up in sin, and then he comes back in condemnation, and then wants to pray, and then comes back out of it, and then gets back with God, and he's in a season where he's in a good place and in the Word, and then it just, you know, the whole cycle just keeps cycling, you know, and it's just like this thing. And he sees it, but it's just that the flesh just slowly starts taking control. And you know, the more the flesh takes control, the less God he's putting in, and then it's just slipping down that slippery slope. So I just want to, you know, lift him up and, you know, just pray for him, because he's really trying to walk in obedience. And you know, just, you know, when you fall away from God and you feel distant and in condemnation, it just opens up, and, you know, it's just a cycle. So let's just agree in faith and, you know, come against the principalities and powers that are trying to take him down. So, Father, right now I just lift up my son to you, Lord, and I just come together as a group, Lord. Your word says when two or more come together and agree that it is done. And I just lift him up to you, Lord, and he's trying to walk right with you. He's trying to walk in obedience. He's in a situation where he's around people that, you know, claim your name but don't walk in your name. And there's a lot of religion. There's a lot of, you know, just, you know, apostate, you know, beliefs and stuff like that. And he's just trying to be a light up there. So, Lord, we just thank you for just working in him. We just thank you for just giving him just a hunger for your word, just to walk in obedience and to say no to his flesh and to cast down the, you know, just allow him to discern the thoughts of the enemy, to try to tempt him to, you know, just to sleep in or not get in the word or not, you know, not to walk in obedience. And we just forbid that in the name of Jesus. We just forbid these lies, and we ask you just help him to discern these lies. And Lord, just give him strength and boldness to say no to his flesh and to walk right with you, Lord. And we just thank you for just blessing him and just giving him just a hunger for walking in your truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I think I'll pray. Well, I know I'll pray. Father, Lord, I lift up everybody in this conference call to you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for putting us all on that straight and that narrow. Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in every one of us to get us to that place, Father, where we're called sons of God and where you can work through us, Lord, as a disciple with signs and wonders following. Father, we just praise you that you're working in every one of us. We're hungry for your word, Lord. We're hungry for the truth, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're giving it to us. Lord, we're coming into some mighty trying times ahead, Lord. And I know you're preparing your bride. You're preparing the man-child, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for completing that work in all of us, Lord, that we have come into, Father. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit is leading us. He's directing us. He's guarding our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And he's allowing us to cast down these vain imaginations that come up into our mind, Lord. And we're all working toward and striving toward that place where you want us to be, Lord. And we thank you for the work that you're doing, Father. We know that as long as we keep our eyes on you, Lord, as long as we keep our eyes focused in the Word, Lord, and as long as we walk that walk that you have us to, Lord, that we're going to be okay, that you're going to protect us. Psalms 91 is going to umbrella all of us in the days ahead. And Father, I just praise you so much, Father, for the work you're doing in us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit as a comforter, he prods us along. He prods us when we get off on a rabbit trail somewhere. And we sometimes going to go around that bonehead mountain, as Michael calls it. And Father, we thank you that your grace and your mercy is so gloriously abundant, Lord, upon us, that you bring us back around full circle and to get back on the right track, Father. And we just praise you for the work you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody agree? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, anybody else got a prayer they'd like to pray, or a prayer request? I got one more prayer I'd like to offer up. We've been warned against another attack. I'd like y'all's agreement. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against you.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. It was helicoptering, but it came back clear again. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we come against that enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you that this headset's working fine. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against, we bind up all the works and activities of the enemy that coming against all of UBM, local, and the outreach too, Lord. That any types of faction, we cast you out in Jesus' name. Any kind of division, we cast you out in Jesus' name. Any kind of rebellion, we cast you out in Jesus' name. Any kind of witchcraft, we cast you out in Jesus' name. And Lord, any kind of curses spoken against any UBM personnel in the name of Jesus, we bind up those curses and send them right back where they came from. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for giving us these warnings so we can fight against them, spiritually speaking, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that the enemy has on the run. And Lord, we thank you because you've given us words, Lord, that this is almost over as far as these local attacks and attacks on the outreach too, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Jesus' name. We thank you for your warrior angels that are set out around each one of us, Lord, that are protecting us from all of these things, Lord. Thank you for the knowledge, the words of knowledge that you give us, Lord, to warn us of these attacks so that we can come against them as a group. And Father, we just praise you for the battles that are won and the war that's going to be won because we've read the end of the word and we know who wins. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Amen. Yeah. Hey, Michael, I got a situation I'd like to pray for.
Okay, Chad.
Remember Brother Scott out in Vancouver, Washington. I just got a text from him and he's kind of been in and out of contact with a sister in the Lord there who needs deliverance from just a lot of stuff. And the Lord just, I believe, as you were praying about this just what you were praying about, the Lord revealed to me that there's a spirit of, I believe, a spirit of, well, offense anyway, at work here. And so I'd just like to pray regarding the situation. I just got a text from him, and he was, I'll just put it real simply to get to the point, is that spirit that's on her jumped on him, and I've kind of seen this happen, you know, a little bit before. And so, Lord, I just pray for Scott right now. Lord, I thank you for the good brother that you have made him to me, Lord. I thank you for the fellowship and the koinonia that we've had in you, Lord, and for the good work that you have been quickening in Scott. And I just bind up the demonic attacks and the demonic attempts to in any way hinder his walk with you now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would work conviction in Scott to recognize the spirits at work, Lord, to put down, cast down any affinity that he has, any kind of human affinity he has in his heart for her, Lord, and that he would respect your word and understand his need to walk holy before you and honor you above all, Lord, including this situation. Lord, just shine your light and help him to recognize these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray for the sister also, Lord, that you'd set her free from spirits of rejection and all the demonic spirits that have their hold on her mind and her soul in Jesus' name. And I bind up spirits of unforgiveness at work against her, and I command you to go from her in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would put repentance in her heart, Father, and just put the fear of you in her heart, Lord, so that she'll seek you with her whole heart and not have respect of persons, Lord, not look to man for comfort or consolation, but really, Lord, look to you and recognize her need for this, Lord, with all of her heart in Jesus' name. And just ask for your hedge of protection about Scott, Lord, during this time. And I bind up the spirit of offense that came against me through this text. And, Lord, I just repent of anything in my heart. I pray that you would show me anything in my heart, Lord, that needs to be completely purged out of me so there's no room for the enemy to get any hold. And I just thank you for helping me to be forgiving towards Scott and towards this sister, Lord, and give me grace to discern what my part is in communicating things. And, Lord, if there just simply needs to be a separation, even if just for a time, I pray that you would bring that about, Lord, between Scott and the sister, Father. But Lord, you know above all, you know what needs to happen. So I just pray that you'd work your will in this situation above all, and that your name would be lifted up and glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we count it all as done. Thank you, Lord. We count it finished. The work that you're doing. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I have a couple of prayer requests. A lady in an apartment complex asked us to pray for a young man named Chad. He has gout, and what's bad is he went to the hospital and he got MRSA. So I pray that I don't know if Chad believes in God or not, but I pray that he would come to know Jesus, and that God would heal him of the MRSA. And in Jesus' name, we took his name down and all, because we try to pray for the people in the village. Also, my computer technician was in a wreck Saturday night, and he has whiplash. I don't know how bad it is or what. All I know is he was. There's a couple of things going on in his life that he needs to look at, and I don't know how to tell it to him. I don't know how to speak it to him, even admit that I know about it. But from somebody who is a born-again Christian, told me that since his wife is in Washington State and we're in Louisiana, he's taken a lady into his room to live with him, and I don't know how to confront him about this. I don't know what my role should be in this, and also that he wouldn't be so quick to sue. This is not the first time. Every time he has an accident, he sues somebody, but he's a born again spirit filled believer. It's just that he's not much in gear right now for sure, and I pray for him. His name is Richard. He's blind, but he's a computer technician. He sees just well enough to fix computers and program software and hardware. Anyways, I asked that y'all pray with me that he would repent and come back to the Lord the way he needs to be, and to grow in the Lord, so that he doesn't keep going back and forth. And pray for my wife and I that the pressures that come against us would only make us stronger, and that anxiety and any unbelief or anything like that would not no longer be. If we pray, we would believe what we pray, and we would see it to come to pass, and that we wouldn't have anxiety, or me. My wife doesn't have it as bad as I do. I know that we cast our cares upon Jesus. Our anxiety is upon Jesus. And I'm practicing that. And, well, my main concern is what I should do concerning Richard. Right now, I don't know what to do. You know, should I confront him about having a woman in his house or what?
Well, does he claim to be a born-again Christian?
Spiritual, born-again Christian.
Yeah, okay. Does he go to your church or does he?
No, I gave up most of the churches. I haven't found a church I can go to since I started going with David Eels. Has kind of weaned me off of the churches.
I understand.
They tend to be sin. They're blind to sin.
Yeah. Best thing to do is just pray for him. And if the chant the Lord, if you pray and you ask the Lord to bring it up to him, you know, and you get to talking about Jesus or something like that, you know, then that's your opportunity. That's your door to go in and ask him about, you know, the sin that he's in. And doesn't he believe it's a sin to cohabitate with someone that's not his wife? And so,
I need a special grace from God to talk to him, because he kind of writes me down since I have had and do have problems with mental illness. He kind of writes me down for that, and won't listen to me.
Wait, you don't have a problem with mental illness. We prayed that up for you.
We're going before the Lord.
Long time ago. Amen. All right. Well, let's just pray for him, okay?
Okay.
We can tell that you're doing a work in Rick, and Father, you've got him almost blind, and Lord, we just ask and pray that you take him to that point to where he'll cry out to you, and you grant repentance to him, Lord, and you draw him to you in a mighty, mighty strong way, Lord, and we thank you for the work you're going to do in Rick. Father, we just ask for, we pray for Wade, and we thank you, Lord, that you placing bold faith in him, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we also come against any kind of critical spirit, any kind of judgmental spirit, in the name of Jesus, and we cast that out. And we thank you, Lord, that Wade is a bold man of God, that he declares the promises of God. And Lord, we thank you that there's no more double-mindedness in him. In Jesus' name, we prayed it out, we bind it up, and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for Wade and his wife, Jeanette. They've been a blessing to the conference call. And Lord, we just thank you for the work you're doing in both of them. They've come such a long way in the last 4 years, Lord. And we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, that they are healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. And also for Chad, that he be free from this MRSA.
Yes, MRSA. That's a new one for me.
I don't know exactly what it means, but it's a bug that they can't kill. It's resistant to all the medicines.
Okay, so
take the grace of God.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of MRSA right now. We cast it off of this guy. In Jesus' name, that Wade was talking about. Lord, if this guy is not saved, we ask that you put him to that point to where he will cry out to you, Lord, and repent. Grant him repentance, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus, and draw him to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so he would learn about the benefits of the promises that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to give Wade a good testimony about all of these things we're praying about tonight for him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You
believe that, Wade?
What was that?
I said, you believe that?
Oh, yes, I believe it.
Amen, brother. God bless. Amen. All right, anything else?
Going from glory to glory.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Just kind of down on the steps, but we're picking up steam.
The Amen. Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
A prayer for me, Michael. This is Christian.
Maybe yes, sir.
Maybe you want to pray a short prayer for me because I can use it very well.
Okay. What would you like to pray about?
Well, it's maybe a bit difficult to explain, but if you just have a short prayer for me, I would welcome that very and appreciate it very much.
Okay, I'm not sure, but I'll go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Christian to you, Lord. We thank you for bringing him into the conference call, Lord, and we ask and we pray that you open up his ears and eyes of understanding, Lord, that he would understand everything that's being talked about here and everything in your word, Lord. We ask that you open up the word of God to him like it's never been before, Lord, and that those revelations that you give him, Lord, out of your word would just come to him like a neon sign, Lord. And we just praise you for opening up the word to him. Also, Lord, we ask that you fill him with your Holy Spirit and put him on that discipleship walk that you want us all to be, and that's a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you for blessing his socks off, Lord, and giving him great wisdom and understanding and discernment of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen, Christian.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, brother. Look forward. God's going to bring it. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Michael, you're back underwater.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I'm going to go out and come back in. Go to him while I do that.
All right. All right, so I'll share a little bit of a testimony that I got the paperwork in for the house I was selling in Ohio. So it's pretty much a done deal. And I just want to, praise the Lord for that. It was a long trial. And I think the biggest thing I got out of that in the end was I was seeing where when you expect somebody to be somebody they're not, or you expect somebody, there was the tenant in the house. I mean, he was, a brother in the Lord, and you expect a brother in the Lord to act a certain way and be Christ-like and that. Or I had a trial with somebody else that called themselves a believer, a Christian and all that, and the guy turned out to be a con man. And it was like, I'm expecting them to be somebody because they're they've got the plaque out for Christ, or they got the name tag on for Christ or whatever. But the biggest situation was there was a little bit there because I was trying to be a witness to the realtor during this whole thing, and my tenant, who is, proclaiming Christ and all that, my realtor's saying, what's up with this guy? It's just, why is he doing that? Why is he this? Why is he that? And I didn't have answers for him because everything he was pointing out really wasn't Christ-like. So that was kind of difficult but it did open up the door to some conversation and that. But I was just, really seeing where you set yourself up when you expect somebody to act a certain way or do something or, treat you a certain way. We can set ourselves up, with our family or our spouse or people at work or you know, brothers in the Lord or brothers who say they're in the Lord. And, you know, just in all these different situations, if you, you know, expect them to act a certain way or do something or that, and they don't act that way, we can get into judging them. And I think the biggest thing I was learning is I was looking at these people and because they're proclaiming Christ, you know, and I was seeing them as brothers in the Lord or you know, Christians or whatever, but they really had no fruit. There was no Christ in them. The, you know, what they were doing did not line up with the Word of God. And, you know, so it was a trial for me because I was expecting something that they weren't capable of bringing forth. And, you know, when it involved other people that I knew, you know, it was a trial for me of getting into judgment and then I get spanked, you know. So, you know, they're calling themselves Christians, but they're really lost, you know, because there's no fruit there. So, but it was a good trial, and I see where I could get pulled out of the rest, and I had to fight to get back into the rest, and I had to pray for them and believe for them, and that's where the Lord wanted me to be, is praying for them that persecuted you, you know, pray for your enemies, love them no matter what. You just got to love them and don't get pulled into your flesh. And I was willing to rebuke, but the Lord, you know, was just, you know, I asked him and he just kind of guided me to just get in the rest, let him take care of it. That's really what he was treating me. So I just, so I'm pretty much through that trial, and so I give the Lord, you know, all the glory that it's done and over with, and my ties to Ohio are pretty much, you know, That was the last tie to, you know, who I used to be and all that. So it's awesome. So I just want to give him the glory. Amen. Are you back, Michael?
Yes, sir. Am I okay?
You sound good right now.
Well, I'm going to sound good the rest of the night in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, good testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Look what the Lord has done. Woo!
Hey,
y'all,
Michael.
Come on, man. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, brother. I have a testimony.
Okay.
The beginning of a testimony. I know the Lord's going to take it further, but three of my family members, all of my family, I guess most of my family, I'm saying, are saved only by faith. They're all still into Catholicism, and 90% of them don't even practice any of that. So anyway, three of them just had open-heart surgery. My brother had it 4 weeks ago and had a quadruple bypass, and we all prayed, and praise the Lord, he looks excellent. He's not having any problems, and my brother-in-law had it last Monday, and he had a triple bypass surgery, and the Father brought him through and had mercy on both of their lives. And my sister just had it done today, and she's still in the intensive care, but when I saw her, I had so much compassion in my heart, because I was like, Father, you're so merciful, because none of these
people
are saved. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi. Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Judy, mute your phone, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought someone was calling me. I had to go off. I'm sorry.
Bye. Okay, I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, well, I was trying to talk to Judy. Mute your phone, Judy, before I mute you.
Okay, I certainly will. I'm so sorry. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Jackie, sorry about that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. But I had so much compassion and love in my heart because I thought the Father's so merciful, because they don't realize it yet. And I didn't realize it when I was lost in the world and in sin. I mean, if the Lord would have called me then, I mean, I'd be in hell, you know, for the sins that I've repented of before I was saved, because I didn't know. So my prayer is that the Father just keeps, you know, I keep praying that He'll draw them to Him through Jesus. And I just want to praise Him for bringing all three of them through surgery, major surgery. And I just ask for Him to continue to have mercy on them and grant them repentance and grant His favor upon them until they do repent and come into the kingdom. And I pray them for that, but I had a hard time today because I am so thankful, and I mean so full of just praise to the Father that He's done this miraculous things for my family, and not one of them is seeing it. And today I tried speaking of the Lord, trying to be gentle, and you know, I was trying to speak to my brother, and there's just so many spirits, and it's very hard. It was putting a lot of stress on me. And yesterday I called Michael because I was really having a hard time with it and lost my focus for a bit, and I guess I was getting into works. And so I just ask everybody to agree in prayer that I don't get into works and that I can just enter into a deeper rest knowing that our Father has all of this under control, because I'm trying to speak to my brother today just on love and compassion and the mercy of God. And they're just praising the doctors, and they're, you know, they're putting God down and just stuff that's so grieving to hear. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, this must be hurting Your heart, because it's breaking mine. And He's been so kind to my family. Sorry. Sorry, but it's hard not to. Lord, give me the words to say it. It's hard not to have them thank God for what He's done. So,
they're just not in that understanding yet, Jackie.
So am I wrong? Am I being critical?
Well, you just need to rest that God's doing a work in them, because He is. You know, we talked about it the other day. We prayed the prayer of faith for them. Now let's step back and let God do His work. It makes no difference, you know. You've heard me say this before, all of you. It doesn't make any difference if God has to take them right to death's door, as long as they get into the kingdom, right? That's the main prayer focus, is that God puts them into the kingdom.
And is it supposed to hurt me this much to see? I mean, is God hurt? I mean, is our Father hurting like I am because of the way they're treating Him? Like, I'm grieving for Him, like, so I don't know if that's like a false burden or what's going on.
Well, it doesn't make any difference what we see with the natural eyes. We know that God's working in their life. So all we have to do is just keep praying for them. And you know, all of us have been hurt by family members, what they say about God, and their misconstrued gospel that they have. So what we do, we just step back and we start praying for them in the spirit. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the word says it, whatsoever you pray and you believe, you shall have it. Whatsoever takes in everything. So when we pray for our loved ones and we believe, we step back into the rest and allow God to work in their lives. And we can go ahead and, you know, we can cry for them and all of that, and that's okay, but we still need to be in the rest that the Lord is doing this thing, and He's going to do it His way, not the way we think He ought to do it. We want Him to take a switch and turn that switch on in our life like He did to Paul or Saul, and change him into a Paul overnight. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes He has to take them to a place to where they'll continually walk in His word. And so You know, that's what we have to do. We have to drop off into that rest that God's given us. And that's the rest he's given us is the sovereignty that we know that God's that God is. He is in control of every situation, not just one over here, one over there, but everything that goes on around our life, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, God's in control. And we have to rest in him, abide in him, keep our eyes focused on him, and then we'll see him do some mighty miracles. Because you can't do nothing. I can't do nothing to get those people, our people that we've been praying for all these many years, to accept Christ. Only God can do that. Only
but
God.
But it's okay to still share, like, encouragement and to share Christ with them, like just to be spirit-led and just speak when I feel like, you know, and if I feel like they're mocking or say something, then I just keep quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. But you've gotten out what the Lord wanted you to say, and it'll work on them. You know, you don't know what's going on in their mind.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That helps much because I just needed some encouragement because when you're around so much, and part of my testimony I was going to share yesterday when after you and I spoke, I was really longing for fellowship, and I got my eyes off the Lord, and Michael said I was maybe getting into works by, you know, getting concerned or worried, and then I was becoming symptomatic myself, and I felt so much stress and anxiety on my chest, and I was really having a hard time, and I couldn't really speak to anybody, and I was praying to the Father the whole time, but my sister was supposed to come back to the room at 3:30, so I went up to her room at 3:00. And when I went up, there was a woman. It's an older woman. Her name is Pearl. She's in her 80s. She's from Trinidad. She's a friend of my sister's. And I've met her before. I didn't know she was spirit-filled. I didn't know she was a believer. And the Lord worked it out that my sister was off the floor for 3.5 hours that Pearl and I got to sit and fellowship. And we just shared testimony after testimony. And we were just praising God together. And I was like, Lord, like, I've met her before, but I never knew she even knew you. And she was just giving God so much glory, and I was. And just the unity and the Spirit just gave me the boost that I needed because I was, like, lacking so much, and I was getting run down and overwhelmed and I guess, into works. And then when I talked to Michael and we prayed, the Lord just filled me with so much peace and joy again. And then after that was, you know, when I went up to the room, and then he sent this woman, and I thought that was just such an awesome gift because I needed that. I needed the encouragement, and I needed the brethren, and I needed the unity and spirit of another believer. And he granted that to me through somebody that I had met a couple times but just, you know, cordially said hello. So that gave me my boost to get through the rest of the night. And then when my sister and my family came back, I was able to, I was built back up. I was strong and able to get through it. So I just praise him for that too. And thank you everybody for praying for my family. And I'm sure these testimonies, I'm believing they're going to just keep growing and growing. And I just praise God for that too. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. We're looking forward to hearing the testimony that they all got saved. And you are too, aren't you?
We're going to have like a 24-hour conference call with all of our families. Are going to get on and say, you know,
Amen.
All your family, my family, everybody
That'd
on here,
awesome.
That we're believing for.
Amen. That'd be awesome.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you guys.
Love you too. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Anybody got anything they'd like to share that the Lord has brought to you?
Yes, sir.
All right, Michael. Go ahead, brother.
I feel like I need to share something. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes I have to be reminded again and again of things that we already know, things that we've heard, things that we know, but we have to be, as Peter said in both two different chapters in 2 Peter, that the Lord would stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I just have realizing more and more, you know, it says in the scriptures that we walk by faith, not by sight. The whole nature of this warfare is very easy for us to lose perspective because, especially in a nation where there's a lot of affluence, the Laodicean people, the Lord said of them, you think you're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and don't know that you're really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In an affluent society where there's lots of distractions and lots of indulgences, it's pretty easy to have become lean pretty strong on the natural senses, which the world leans on. You know, what they see with their eyes, what they hear with their ears, what they taste, what they smell, what they feel, that's reality to them. You know, the people that are into Satanism, one of the principles they are into is flesh is real. It's right here. Flesh is real. And so everything is about flesh. But it says in the scripture that we walk by faith, not by sight. But that, and you look at the scripture that we've heard many times, the one in Deuteronomy 8, when the Lord said, you shall remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to see what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The thing it says in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. The whole thing that this fight that we're about, the battle that we're in, the enemy's attack is against our faith and against the promise of God. Because if you look at the reality of the battle that we're fighting, sometimes we don't realize just what an incredible thing this is. The Lord whom we serve, most of us have never seen him as far as, we see him with the eyes of the Spirit. He's not seen. The path we're walking on that bridges this temporal realm to the eternal realm is an unseen path. We're walking on a pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom. Our war is against an enemy that we cannot see with our natural eyes. I mean, we can see the fruits of his work as we see evil in people's lives. We can see darkness upon them and the fruit of their lives, and we can see evidence, but we don't see him. We don't see his weapons that he uses against us. We don't see everything, this whole thing, if you get right down to it, the only thing that everything that you believe, everything that we think, all the hope we have, all the promise is built on the promise of God, on what God has promised. That's the whole premise of our faith. It's what we live and move by, is what God has said. And the only thing that makes what appropriates that or puts it into gear is faith mixed with that word, because it says the promise, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And it said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And then they heard the word of God, the true promise of God, the scripture will profit you absolutely nothing unless there's faith mixed with that word. And so the whole premise of this walk right now that we have is that we would learn to walk by faith and not by sight. If we don't learn to walk by faith, not by sight, we will not overcome. We will not be victorious. It says also in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, it says, and above all things take unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some of them, not a lot of them, quench all of them. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the promise of God, wielded in faith. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, and you look at the devil brought against Eve, is the exact same battle that we are fighting with day in and day out. What he said to Eve, hath God said. God has made promises. God made promises to Adam, and they spoke words to Eve. But anyway, the enemy's warfare is the same today as it was then. Everything is crying out against the promise of God. Circumstances are always fighting against the word of God, the promise of God. And they are screaming loudly, hath God said? You know, as we've said before, Abraham, when he was 98 years old, 99 years old, circumstances were saying, has God said, you, a father of many nations, you're too old. Give it up. Circumstances were screaming loudly at him. God has not said. His wife and the people around him were, you know, maybe you should go to Hagar, you know, because I can't bring forth a child. Maybe you should go see what you can do with Hagar. People, circumstances, our own carnal mind, and our emotions are the enemy of the faith of Christ. And we are in a battle right now, and there's a lot that hasn't been revealed yet, because it says that he that hears these things and doeth them is like the wise man that built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it stood. But there's a testing that's going to reveal the doers and the hearers. There's a testing that's going to reveal true faith and that which is not true faith. And I think every one of us right now is dealing with, I mentioned to Michael the other day, you know, I look in the mirror sometimes, and I have to live with myself. I see the inconsistency. I see the wrestling. And there's a great gap between what I believe, what I know, what I have, the hope I have in my heart, and what I'm walking in. There seems to be a great gap at times. But this whole thing right now that has to be, God has put us in this wilderness for the same reason that he put the children of Israel in the wilderness, to teach them to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, to be unmoved when our emotions are screaming against us, when our emotions say they're screaming the exact opposite of what God has said and what God has spoken. When our own carnal mind looks and says, this is not reasonable, this is totally unreasonable. But I just want to share a few scriptures with you that I believe would be an encouragement to you. It says in here that in the Romans 11, I think it is, where he says, if the natural branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive branch were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, because you do not bear the root, but the root you. And it says, you will say, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. He says, but be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. He said, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God, toward them that fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall be cut off. But he said, thou standest by faith, don't be high-minded, but fear. But we're standing, our very existence in God right now is an issue of faith. It's an issue where God is trying to teach us to live by the promise of God, because we're still in the fluffy program right now. We're still in a time when the Lord put a word in my heart for a brother today, and the brother's been through a lot, but the Lord put in my heart that to this brother that, brother, you've never been through anything compared to what you're getting ready to go through. So the point being right now is we're getting ready. You know, it talks about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 3 when it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. That the day that we're coming into, the day of the evil day, is going to test every man of what they really have and what they don't. There's not going to be any pretending. There's not going to be any false images. Everybody's going to be revealed exactly what's there. It's going to be revealed. And it's going to reveal to some. Let me just share this other scripture. In 1 Peter 1, it says this. I'm going to share the first part. I don't read from the Bible, so I'm not. If I miss telling you where some of these are, you can ask me later. I could tell you, but I just feel like I need to go with where I'm headed. But in 1 Peter 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, for though it be tried by fire, it might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, who searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, of which things the angel desire to look into. But the point there being, he says, whom having not seen, you love, and in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. The scripture says in Romans 8, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man sees, why should he hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. That's a powerful thing. I'm going to say that again. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. It says in the scripture in Hebrews 11, Abraham sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful that promised. Therefore sprang there of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand of the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, had they been mindful of the country from whence they had come, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. These brethren, all the, and maybe I'll share a little more, that one where Moses, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. For he had, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. These brethren, they saw something, they saw it afar off, they walked by faith, not by sight. It says, Abraham sojourned in a land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He never met Jacob. these men walked in the same country. It's a land of promise, a land where 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4, that God can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000, that men can walk on water, that men can see bread come out of the air, that God creates, takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds 5,000, that he can tell Peter to go cast a hook in the sea and pull up the first fish that comes up and take the money out of his mouth and pay your taxes. It's a land where we don't live by natural realms. God wants to show us and he wants to teach us that the realm that we have to walk in is a realm where the greatest reality. We see flesh. I see flesh and blood go. It was interesting. Brother talked about that thing about a brother has Merca, a dear lady that we know here right now, a doctor who we have good friends. We just found out she died of that very infection. She probably caught it in the hospital. But there's a tremendous warfare. And we look around and we see. We've had several people that we've heard of lately that just untimely death, that just died. All of a sudden, they were gone. They were here, one brother, 25 years old, a man of God, and he died. He died of a heart attack, 25 years old, under great warfare. And all of us, we need to come to that place, brothers and sisters, where we recognize that the greater reality is not this natural realm. We've got to come to a place where we build ourselves up in the spirit. We develop, we pray to God, and we and that word that says in here that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Having eyes in the spirit, having be able to walk by faith and to see eyes of faith, to see beyond the veil of this natural realm and to see what God is going to do, what God is able to do. It has nothing to do with circumstances. In fact, God is allowing adverse circumstances to challenge you. He took them out in the wilderness and tested them. He let them hunger, let them thirst. All God wanted from them was a response of faith. And we look at a people who came out of the Red Sea dancing and timbrels and seeing the horse and rider he's throwing into the sea. The inhabitants of Philistia are going to melt like wax before us. We're going to go in and inhabit houses we didn't build and drink of vineyards we didn't plant. And every one of them died in the wilderness. Through unbelief, we see they could not enter into this land because of unbelief. Brother, we need, let us therefore fear. That's the warning. The temptation, he says, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We've got to come to a place, brothers and sisters, where we develop eyes of faith, the eyes of the Spirit, the eyes of our understanding enlightened to know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. That's how we need to live. That's how we need to walk. We've got to come to a place where we have developed, and that realm, that eternal kingdom, is more real to us than this natural realm. When he says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They determined that eternal kingdom was what they were going to live for, what was the greater reality, and the reproach of Christ, greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, as it says about Moses. Now it says in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, it says, now the earth which drinketh in the rain that falleth oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs, meat for those by whom it is dressed. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, and whose end is to be burned. And then it says, brethren, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. That you show diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Therefore, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing will I bless thee, and multiplying will I multiply thee. And so we see that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. And it says, and it goes on and it says, for those who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before for us, which hope we have is an anchor for our soul. The thing that is the keeping force of our soul is that hope, that we never let it grow dim, that we keep it before our eyes, that we cast down every thought, imagination, everything that comes against the promise of God, everything that comes against the circumstances. We say, you are a liar in the name of Jesus. You do lie. When our emotions are screaming out against the promise of God in our life and the hope of eternal life and the hope of his purpose being fulfilled in your life and the anointing of God resting upon you and flowing through you mightily, to be able to stand and say, I rebuke you, emotions, you bow the knee to Jesus Christ the Lord. Circumstances bow the knee. When people speak a word to me that is contrary to what God has promised, I say, I don't receive your testimony, dear friend. If you're a brother, I tell you, I don't receive your testimony. Because this is what God has said. This is what the promise said. And I am not going to receive your testimony. And sometimes it's a hard thing. I've done it right in the face of brothers. I said, brother, I don't receive that word. I just want you to know. They said, I said, no, I don't receive it. I don't. I can't let that go through my mind. I'm fighting this fight of faith. I cannot let any darts come through. I'm putting the shield of faith up, and anything that I bring to captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it captive and cast it down. I don't care whether it's circumstances, emotions, our carnal mind, what people are saying. We have to come by a place where we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that we stand by faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. And brothers, there's between every promise of God, between the promise of God in your life and the fulfillment is always a battleground. It's always a valley. It's a testing season. It's a desert season that you've got to pass through to see that thing fulfilled. It's just like planting a seed in the garden, and then you deal with all of the elements that fight against that seed coming to fruition and finally bringing forth fruit. So it is with the promise of God. The Lord says in his word, the sower went forth to sow. The seed is the word of God. Your heart is the soil that's planted in. And brothers and sisters, there's a battle to keep that thing from. There's thorns of the cares of the world that want to choke that word so that it never brings forth fruit to perfection. There's ravens that want to pluck it up before it even gets growing. There's temptations and persecution that want to cause those that don't have depth and that seed that has not got depth of root, the fires of persecution to burn up that seed before it ever gets a depth of root so it can stand. And brothers, it says, but he that received the seed on good ground, if he have a wise and understanding heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And I've shared this word, you've heard the scripture many times, I've shared it several times, but it says in the scripture in James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And behold, we count them happy which endure. For you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. How that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercies. The end of the Lord is the day that Moses saw the bush on fire. And he was called, and God called him to deliver the people of Israel. It was the day that Joseph was loosed from the bottom dungeon and made ruler over the people. It was the day that Hannah conceived and bare a seed after the travail of her soul. It was the day that Simeon lifted his creator in his arms and said, and now, Lord God, let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared to all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and a glory to thy people Israel. And if I know anything about the ways of God, I know this, that Simeon was a young man when he got the promise. And he had to rebuke death and say, you cannot have me until I have seen the fulfillment of God's promise. The fulfillment, it's the day that the end of the Lord is the day that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The fulfillment of the word that God had promised in Isaiah concerning this man. I send my messenger before my face. And he says, to prepare the way of the Lord, the valley shall be exalted, the mountains made low, the crooked made straight, and the rough places plain. That man was, that was the fulfillment of the vision, and the Lord had spoken to him that you're going to see Christ, and when you do, you're going to, it's he whom you see the Spirit of God descend on bodily form. He it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he had these promises in his heart by the Spirit of God. He stood and saw it come to pass. And brothers and sisters, God has made promises to you. God has made promises to me. We have hopes and dreams of our heart. And many of us get up today and we go to work. We go out and we see things, very natural things that we do day by day. And it's a fight of faith continually. Everything around us screaming at us, as God said. And I'm going to share one more little portion of scripture with you that you're very familiar with. But it's a very important scripture. It's in the fourth chapter of Romans. I don't know exactly where, I'm guessing around 15 to 17 verse, starting in there, which says, God gave, it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I believe that he had to hope against hope because his own natural hope was dashed on the rocks of the circumstances, and he had to hope against hope and stand on the promise of God. It says, against hope he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body, now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at the circumstances which were screaming at him. He said, which was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was able to perform. It's not about our ability. It's not about what we can or cannot do. It's coming to a place where we have the faith of God mixed with us, that we are absolutely strong because we're strong in his ability to bring it to pass. When the people said, we are not able to go against them, they've got iron chariots and walled cities, the height of their stature so great, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we are not able. And Joshua stilled the people, said, their bread forced, their defenses departed. Let's go at once and possess this land, for he is able to bring us in. Brother, that's got to be the premise by which we stand, by which we overcome. It has nothing to do with your ability, nothing to do with your inability, nothing to do with the vessel you are. It has to do with the promise of God and faith mixed with that promise that will germinate that seed and cause it to bring forth fruit unto eternal life. And for us to come to a place where we, it's, and when he says in there, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but to us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offense, raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wherefore, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. If we were to list the scriptures on faith, it would be so overwhelming you couldn't do it in a night. There's so many, the whole thing, if you start looking at the scriptures in the light of the faith of Christ and the promise of God, that's the whole premise of our existence. We have nothing without the promise of God. We have nothing without faith mixed with the word. We have nothing whatsoever. Because if you go by, do you feel saved? That has nothing to do with it. Are you seeing things that look like? That has nothing to do with it. It is written. When Jesus stood against the devil, it is written. It is written. And brethren, if we have to learn to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it is our warfare, it is our health, it is our provision, it is the very inheritance that we have, is by faith, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He says, of whom having not seen, you love, and in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Oh my, where do I begin? Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comments? You know, that's, go ahead. Somebody, I hear somebody fixing to come on.
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking a long time about the kinds of things that Michael was talking about. Another blowout delivery. Thank you, Michael. That was awesome. Our existence here in the material world, I think, is a kind of a, it could be a first of sorts. Until the material world, what existed that did not know that God brought them into being? The angelic realm had God right there the whole time. This could be the first iteration where in a material world was created where we can't see God. The only exception of that being Adam and Eve. Everybody else, we come to be granted a gift of exposure, and from there, however it's acted on is left to the individual. But in the material world, this is a first time where God was not clearly prevalent, relevant, visible, obvious, present, and accountable to. And that makes our time here a unique experience. And in the progress of that, as human beings grow up in what they discover to be a hostile environment, they operate by their wits. They develop a understanding of the personal sovereignty and command of their own being as they try to navigate life. And I've discovered that it is a person's command over their own life is not given up easily. But that's just part of the dynamics of living in this material world as a human.
Amen. But you know, God will force us into those places to where you're going to have to do one of two things. You're going to have to believe God or die. And he can do it, and he's done it in the past. We have many, many types and shadows in the Word of God that shows us where he'll cut down an army down to 300 men against hundreds of thousands of men and show what he can do. They did it with Moses. He put him into that place. You know, I don't know if y'all have heard some of my talkings here recently, last 3 or 4 weeks. I've been talking about putting us into those places. God puts us into those places. Well, we have to trust God. And that's what he likes. He likes for us to believe him over and above our ability. What did David do? David went out there and fought Goliath, backed up by the word of God. He knew. It wasn't that he was anybody. He knew he wasn't anybody. Just a teenage, snotty-nosed kid went out there and came against God's enemy and defeated him because he knew his God was going to back him up. Same thing with many others throughout the history of the Bible. Many of them were placed in those positions. God picked these people who didn't have any more self-sufficient, they weren't proud, they weren't arrogant, they weren't anything. They knew they
voice
weren't.
Messaging system. 5-0.
Malcolm, what were you doing over there? Malcolm, mute your phone.
Oh.
I'll do it for you. Uh-oh. Anyway, where was I? Everybody mute your phone. It's not talking, please. Sometimes we can hear road noise and things like that. But anyway, God will put us into those places where we're going to have to either trust him or die. Like Michael was talking about in a roundabout way, he's going to put us in, force us into those places where we know that we can't do anything other than believe God. And so, having said that, I'd like to open up now and allow anybody else with any comments to share or, on what Michael was talking about or and Bart was talking about.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
No, I thought that what Michael Montana brought forth was awesome. It's just, you know, just this walk of faith is it's not an easy walk, but it's a walk of obedience, and it's really, you know, as he said, is building ourselves up in the spirit, and you know, seeing beyond the veil, and you know, just being. Being in the place where, you know, we see God in everything. We know He's sovereign. We know that these trials that come are just to perfect us. And you know, the flesh is always trying to, you know, we're putting to death the flesh, but it's always trying to, you know, to get its foothold again or get its foot in the door. And, you know, we close the door and you know, distractions come or you know, temptation comes or you know, it's just, you know, if he doesn't succeed one way, he comes in another way. And it's really getting to that point where we can just, you know, just totally walk in the spirit. But I've just seen, it just seems like there's a lot of distractions that the enemy brings to get us out of the spirit, get us out of the word, get us, you know, fear of man, not praying for people or stepping out in faith or, these fears and anxieties and, you know, what will people think and all these things that he puts in us, which is all against faith. It's all based in the enemy because, I mean, he tries to manipulate us in fear. But, you know, it's hanging on to that hope, you know, of the promises that we're studying and reading and hanging on to that eternal life and you know, just hanging on and being overcomers, you know, being at a point where when we mess up that we don't make excuses for our flesh or justify what we do, but it's just a matter of, yeah, I see it and you know, that's my old nature, and I just, that's not me, that's not Christ, and I repent, and then you move on, and you know, but the enemy tries to get us back into condemnation. Look what you did, look what you said, you should have done this, you should have done, you know, and so that's really where the battle is. It's the enemy is constantly bringing thoughts, and it's casting down those vain imaginations, and just standing in faith, and standing on what we're reading, no matter what we see. And that's sometimes difficult, you know, especially if we got family coming against us or you know, situations like that. And we're just trying to walk in obedience to the word. And we know that if we stay there, that he's going to take care of us. But we shrink back in fear or, you know, these different things, fear of man and that. And, you know, but we just got to repent and, you know, just continue on that narrow path. And even the people around us, the enemy's using to try to distract us, and or the, you know, the Lord is put there to stir something in us to, you know, show what's unpleasing to him or to challenge us in an area in that. So, you know, it's just, you know, walking by faith and not by sight. And the more we stay focused in on that, get sanctified from the world, get sanctified from, you know, the things around us, the more we can, you know, stay in that obedience. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to comment here on what we're talking about? Praise God. It's our walk. Only thing we have to do is exercise faith. When we exercise faith, we please the Holy Spirit. And if we please the Holy Spirit, he quickly gives us purification. The only thing that impresses the Holy Spirit is faith in the true promises of God. And that's why he gives us that authority in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. That's why he empowers us. The Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to us for the purpose of manifesting Christ in us. That's what he's here for. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having this with these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what God is doing in us. All we have to do is have faith to believe it. He's done that work in us. That's what God wants. He wants us to believe what he says in his word. When he says he's perfecting us in holiness, believe it. He cleanses us from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You got to have the fear of God. I have to do it. I'm telling you. If you don't have a fear of God, you need to ask and pray God for it. Because that's what's going to get you through the days ahead. Fear of God.
Michael.
Yes.
We just need to pray. You're breaking up again. So, Father, okay. Right now, we just rebuke this attack. And we just come against this bandwidth or software issue or whatever's going on, and we just forbid it in the name of Jesus.
We thank you for
a perfect connection.
Amen. I know what it is. I'm going to go out and come right back in, okay? You get me, Tim?
All right, I was muted. I got you. Okay, who else has got a comment while Michael's going out and coming back in? Anything on their heart? Any testimonies? Revelation the Lord's showing you? Don't be shy now.
Good.
Hey, Missy.
Hey. Long time they see everybody, or should I say long time they talk.
Amen.
I just thought I'd share my chainsaw testimony.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Lord bless you all. Missed you all. And I don't know, some of you probably know, but I've been down here in Tennessee for since the 4th. So just appreciate it if you all keep me and Mom in your prayers. I've had to separate from him to be obedient to the Lord. So, but anyway, believe in that things are going to get straightened out. So things are looking up. So just keep him in your prayers. Anyway, I was in the park yesterday taking a walk, and there was an employee that does maintenance in the park. I was walking and praying, and I sat down on the bench, and I know that he was trying to get his chainsaw started for about at least 15 minutes. It was at least 15 minutes. And anyway, so I continued on my walk after I sat for a little bit. And I was coming up on him, and I just felt like the Lord saying to walk over to him and help him with the chainsaw, you know. And I'm like, oh, this is a man. Sorry for me to do this with this being a man, you know, this is like my whole thought and everything. And I was just like, I was just watching him. And so I walked a little bit past him, and I was just like, the Lord was just like, so like wouldn't let me go on it. So I turned around and then kind of started to walk towards him. I said, can't you get your chainsaw started? He said, no. And I said, did you ask the Lord about it, or did you pray to the Lord about it, something like that? And he said, yeah. And so I walked up to him, and he had put the chainsaw in the back of his truck at that point, and I said something to him about, you know, us agreeing together for the chainsaw and praying that the Lord would fix it. And So I like put my hand on the chainsaw, and I said, about him to come over and put his hand on. He says something like, "That's all right, go ahead," So I'm here like saying, what things are impossible with man are possible with God, and I'm like, Lord, what's wrong with this chainsaw, and I said, you can fix it, and just commanding it to be fixed, in Jesus' name. And I don't remember what all I said, but so I got done, and he walks back over, and he was just—you could tell—he was uncomfortable with the whole thing. And the Lord gave me such a bold faith. I was just like, "Whoa!" I mean, I could tell he was uncomfortable with it, that just like the Lord gave me such a bold faith that it didn't even bother me, Anyway, so he walked over and he started to get the chainsaw back out, and he says to me, he says, "You think it's going to start?" And I said, "Yes." So he pulled it like 3 times and it sputtered a little bit, and then he pulled it a couple more times and it started up, but then it stopped. And then he pulled it a couple more times and it started up, and it was running, and I was just like, "Praise you, Jesus," and I gave him a high five, and I was like so excited. And I was just praising the Lord, and he was adjusting something on the chainsaw, and I said to him, I said, "My name's Missy." I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Jay." And at one point, I don't remember where, in the midst of the whole thing, I asked him if he was a Christian, and he said, "Yeah." But anyway, I just pat him on the shoulder, and I said, "You have a blessed day," and I walked off. And I just, these tears are streaming out of my eyes. I was praising the Lord. I was just so excited. I was like, "Lord, you're just so cool. Thank you, Lord." I just couldn't praise him enough. And that was just such a highlight to my day. I was just like, "Wow, Lord, I've never done anything like that before." I'd never done anything like that before. And really, it wasn't me. It was the Lord in me. But the Lord had never done that for me before, to help someone. And it was so cool. He was a man, I'd say he was at least 60, and he was, all gray, and he had, a buzz-cut haircut or whatever. So I'm kind of looking forward to the next time I'm in the park walking, just wondering if I'm going to see him. I think I'm pretty sure I've seen him before in the park doing stuff. But anyway, so just wow. And when I was walking off, I was praying in the spirit too and praising the Lord, but I was asking the Lord to let his faith not fail, and to increase his faith, and remind him of this, and help him to know what authority that the Lord has given him. So that was so awesome. The Lord was so awesome. So just wanted
Thank
to share
Lord.
That.
Lord can even fix chainsaws. He can even start chainsaws.
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh. That was, I wish y'all could have been there to see it, because the Lord was so cool.
Yeah. Well, that's why we shouldn't ever put God in a box. He can do anything that he wants to do, and he wants to help us do everything that we need. So don't put him in a box. I've seen him put transmissions back to going in a van one time. I've seen him fix a leak, a bad leak, before in the plumbing. I've seen him do many things. Y'all have too. So we should never put him in a box that he can't do this, or he wouldn't do this, because he'll do anything that you pray and believe for.
Yeah. Well,
amen.
As a matter of fact, it just reminded me of something that happened tonight. Judy and I went in to make baked potatoes, and I stuck them in the oven and turned the oven on, and the light wouldn't come on. If I turn it to broil, or on high or low, the light would come on, saying that the oven was heating. But it didn't want to come on when I just turned it on for regular baking. And Judy's like, "Look," we're both looking at this thing. And Judy said, "Well, I've used it before, and it worked before." So we went into, excuse me, we went into battle mode and commanding the thing to work, you know, and everything, and praising and thanking the Lord, and I was singing and stuff, and singing a praise song and stuff, and then I just started turning the switch back and forth real quick, and all of a sudden I saw this blinking, so I turned it the way I need to turn just the regular part of the oven on, and the light came on. I was like, thank you, Lord. So that was another thing that the Lord did, too. Amen. I was just like, I was determined. I was like, okay, Lord, you fixed this chainsaw. You're going to fix this, too. So anyway. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. Y'all are muted.
Michael, are you muted?
I was muted. I was sitting there praying for Missy.
Oh, you were praying for me.
I was. Lord, we just come against that infirmity. In Jesus' name, we command it to go. We command all the symptoms to die out right now in Jesus' name. And We thank you, Lord, that she is healed, coughing stop, the stuffiness go in Jesus' name. And anything else associated with it has got to go. We bind you up and cast you off of it right now in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank Jesus. You, Lord. Now, pray for Judy, too. You know, this is something that's going on here, and I don't know what it is going on.
Not anymore. In Jesus' name, we command
right.
that infirmity to stop right here. In Jesus' name, we command it to go out of the UBM fellowship in Jesus' name.
Right.
You are not allowed in. We command you to go. We cast you off of everybody that has any kind of symptoms of it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that the Kim crud does not affect the people of God in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we're standing in faith to believe that too in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Judy's over here agreeing.
Amen. Okay. Good deal. Well, we prayed for a couple of other people yesterday, and they were healed. And so, praise God.
Amen. Thank
praise
you, Lord.
God. All right. Anybody
else? Love you all.
Yeah, you too, Missy. See you in the morning.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Well, I believe that. I believe we're healed. This is Judy.
Yep.
I kind of wanted to share. I am also going through some trials with my daughter and my son and stuff. And I've got to turn it over to the Lord and let him take it. And I got to rest in that. And I asked him for a verse. I thought this verse was really neat. So I wanted to share it because I thought maybe it'll help Jackie or help anybody. Because I mean, this is just a really awesome answer that he gave me. And it was Nehemiah 9:27. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their adversaries who distress them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou givest them saviors who save them out of the hand of their adversaries. The Lord's going to bring them in. We just got to stand and rest and walk by faith and not by sight, and he'll do the work. We just got to remember that he's there for us. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Father. All right, anybody else? Judy, don't forget to mute your phone. All right, anybody else? Well, I was going to talk a little bit about end times tonight, but I had a couple of questions that came up in an email, and I'd like to address them. Also, maybe some other things, and this is about women and what they're supposed to do in a husband-wife situation as far as decision-making and things like that, and whether or not it makes him a Jezebel or it makes him Ahab if he accepts suggestions or opinions from his wife, or if it makes her a Jezebel if she gives suggestions and opinions. No, it doesn't. In fact, women you know, husbands ought to allow in major decision makings in the family, they ought to be allowed to express, you know, an opinion or suggestion. And then the husband assimilates all of that information that he gets, and he makes the decision. That's the final authority and the final decision that he makes. Now, something else that I wanted to get on was this right here. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understands about what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 35. It says, "And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home." The husband is the spiritual leader of the wife. It's not the pastors. It's not women's ministries. It's not the TV evangelists. And it goes on to say, it says, "For it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. What? Was it from you that the word of God went forth, or came it unto you alone? If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." Obviously, God knew that many calling themselves prophet or spiritual would come along thinking that they know more than the word. Verse 38, "But if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. As in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." Now, he's talking about here prohibiting them from teaching and taking authority, as it says over in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and 12. "But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness." Paul said, now the women can pray or they can prophesy, because it says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, "But every woman praying or prophesying." So this silence or quietness does not include praying, because that's to God and not to men. Neither does it include prophesying, because that's from God and not the woman. A prophetess has the gift of prophecy, but is not a prophet. They can't take an office of an overseer, having authority to teach and command in the church. Women cannot have that. Women can have many ministries, but not the fivefold ministries. Only men are permitted to be bishops or overseers. Now, I just wanted to clarify this. If you have a question, women, if you have a question for an elder or someone, some other man, you need to have your husbands to ask the question. Because sometimes things can be misconstrued, what someone is saying, and you take it back and say, well, and then hammer your husband, or the husband hammer the wife, or whatever. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but there are instances that it has happened. So we have to adhere to the scriptures. So anytime that you have a question, be sure it's your husband that asks the question. Sometimes we'll go ahead, and if we, you know, feel like the Lord is leading us to go ahead and answer a question, but it really should be the husband that asks the question and not the wife. Now, if I have any body out there that might be a little bit fuzzy about what I just got through talking about, please go ahead and ask any questions that you'd like. Boy, that was a loaded question, wasn't it? Sorry, Pat. Yeah.
Can you explain or elaborate, like, you know, where myself or Belinda or Judy would fit in with that?
Well, in that instance, you ask if you don't have what is your authority? Your authority is whatever someone spiritually speaking is over you, right?
Yes, sir.
So just ask them. Yeah, you're right. I'm talking about married couples now. I'm not talking about single women that are under an umbrella ship here.
So are we allowed, is a widow or widows allowed men to freely ask questions?
Freely ask questions, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, what about women that have unbelieving husbands?
You still have to go through your husband. Let me look at the scriptures here just a minute.
I think you're correct on that, Mike.
The what?
You're correct on that. By the woman submitting to the man, it's still going to be her submitting to the Lord.
Yeah, here it is, 1 Peter 3:1. In like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear. And 1 Corinthians 7:12, but to the rest say I, not the Lord, if any brother hath an unbelieving wife, and she is content to dwell with him, let him not leave her. And the woman that hath an unbelieving husband, he is content to dwell with her, let her not leave her husband. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Yet if the unbelieving departeth, let him depart. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us in peace. You always, it doesn't make any difference if your husband or your wife is saved or unsaved. The husband is the authority in the household. God does not make a distinction between saved and unsaved husbands. He does make a distinguishment between husband and wife, period. The husband is the authority, the final authority. Now, if you're in love and you're in Christ, you should both sit down and discuss major family decisions. You know, the wife takes care of the daily stuff in the house. And if you love each other, you trust your wife, you know, to take care of the little things. But major decisions and things that should be brought before each other, then the husband has the final decision. Amen. Is that clear? I hope so. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add? David, do you got anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would like to say that even if a woman is with an unbelieving husband, she can still pray to the Lord that the Lord give him proper discernment in all matters.
Amen. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. We have to go with the scriptures. We can't go with what we think and what we want to believe. We have to go with the scriptures. So praise God. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's the husband is under the authority of Christ. He has to account to Christ for the things that the decisions that he makes. He's accountable to Christ. Now the wife is only accountable to the husband. But the husband is accountable to Christ. So that's a position that he has. God has placed upon him. He's in a more precarious position. So he's going to be a lot more careful in this decision making, or should be as a Christian, than normal. Well, all right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add, share, or give a testimony about? We've got a few minutes left.
Hey, Michael, I was just going to say, with Trish and I mean, the Lord's given her a gift of discerning of spirits. So, you know, when we're in a situation, if she brings up discernment, you know, I see that as, you know, the Lord using her to say, this is what we need to pray about. And, you know, so we'll, you know, use that gift as far as, you know, to come against, you know, maybe if we're in spiritual warfare or whatever it is, so we use that gift in certain situations, and, you know, I mean, she may see some things, we do discuss things, but the ultimate decision is mine, you know, as far as that. So, you know, it comes down to me, but, you know, I still, you know, use her discernment, or, you know, yeah. She sees something that I'm not seeing, then we work as a team, and it works out. It works out really well.
Amen. That's true. That's true. She's a helpmate. That means she helps out. And she's an integral part. The wife is the integral part of this ministry that both of you have. Well, all right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we get out of here? Well,
Michael, Joe?
Yeah, hi, Joe.
I just want to ask a question about that. Say, for instance, wife tells you to or gives you advice on something, but that does that include tell you how to drive or how to spend the money or make decisions?
The decision.
I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah. The decisions, the major decisions in the household, is the husband's. If there's a financial problem. And it's ultimately up to the husband to manage the financial affairs, and he can delegate anything he wants to his wife, you know, and let her do whatever she needs to do to keep the house going. But it's ultimately up to the husband to make sure that all the bills are paid and make sure that the money's going where it needs to go. You see?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the other thing Joe said was driving. Did you say driving?
That's right, yeah. If she tells you how to drive, you must watch here and do this.
Okay, I'm not really understanding. You mean whether the wife should drive or you should drive? I don't, whatever suits you. You know, that's fine.
That she tells me where to drive if I'm driving. She tells me you must turn here and watch out for this car here.
Is she a backseat driver? Well,
no, I'm just asking her the same thing.
If she's watching out for you, you know, let her go ahead and watch out for you. But if she just, you know, if either one, I don't know, y'all work it out. When you're out driving, you know, if she sees something that you're not seeing, yeah, she should speak up. But if she's just you're trying to paint me in the corner here, Joe.
No. Just verify. That's all right. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Okay, bud. Anybody else?
Well, Lord, she has a helpmate, so that's okay.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying, you know, let her go ahead. You can either pay attention or not. You know, that's what I do. I just shut it out. Praise God. Lord, we just praise you for your humor, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that were said tonight. Father, we just ask that you work in us all, Lord, to go ahead and carry on, Lord, with what you have for us doing, Lord. We thank you for Christian tonight, Lord, coming in and visiting with us. We hope, Father, that you do a mighty work in him and all
thank
of us,
you,
Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for healing everybody that needed healing. We thank you, Lord, for delivering everybody that need to be delivered, Lord. And we praise you and we ask, Lord, that you give us a good night's sleep tonight and bless our day tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody, and God bless.